Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
Around the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. And Stacy. With me, as always, is some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid, plus some great new friends. Stacy, how are you, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And I am just drinking some lime seltzer water.
Lime seltzer water. That'll keep you from dehydrating and from getting scurvy. Two things. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, Tommy. I'm drinking some Glenmorangie. I am just about out of it, so I'm probably going to be drinking something different next week. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I am just drinking a soda because my wife hasn't brought me a scotch yet. But I got it in my beautiful Dorchester Brewing. Oh, hello, lady. I got it in my beautiful Dorchester Oktoberfest mug, which was a lot of fun. We went to Oktoberfest over the weekend. And I got a scotch coming, and it's going to be terrible because it's my terrible scotch. I think it's Thompson's Water Seal. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking tonight there, buddy?
I'm doing okay, and against my doctor's advice, I'm having a Julius.
Ooh.
Treehouse.
What kind
Mom,
of beer is
I know you're not listening, so whatever.
What kind of beer is that?
It's a very delicious New England IPA.
I had a Claps Cream Ale at the Dorchester Fest, and I love that beer. Is there any other beer like that that I'll like just as much there, Josh?
I don't know. I haven't had it, so can't tell. But I think Claps Cream Ale sounds like a euphemism for Hep C.
Claps Cream Ale sounds like a euphemism for Hep C. That might be exactly what that is. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking there, buddy?
I'm doing well, and I am almost done with my glass of Eagle Rare Scotch.
Eagle Rare Scotch. I'm down to rum, I've just been told. Rum. So Captain Morgan's rum, and I got Coke here, so que me libre de!
I'm sorry, I called it Scotch. It's whiskey.
It is whiskey. Yeah, all right, good man. Good again. Everyone likes Scotch.
It's a very fine whiskey, though.
Is it?
It's probably my favorite whiskey. Yeah, it's incredible.
What color is it?
Now?
Yeah.
Whiskey colored?
Brown?
You know who isn't brown? She-Hulk. She's green. King of the Segways, people. King of the Segways. Today we're going to be talking about the She-Hulk. Everyone's, well, most people's favorite green lawyer. I can't think of any others. And to give us the background on Jennifer Walters is our good friend Josh Hopper. Josh, you want to talk us through the origins of the She-Hulk?
Or you want to pass texting my mom.
Can't text mom.
If I don't text her right back, 7 minutes later, she's like, "Are you angry with me? Do you want my mom being angry with me during this podcast?"
That is a great point. I do not want that. I never did.
Fun Alex fact. Can you guys tell me what TV show caused the She-Hulk character to become created? Oh, that's kind of a weird way I phrase that sentence.
What TV show caused the She-Hulk to be created?
Yes.
Chips.
Nope.
Incredible Hulk?
You would think it's the Incredible Hulk, and that's tangentially involved in it. LT's a little closer.
I would say Wonder Woman or maybe the Isis Power Hour.
You're getting further away.
Because I would think it would be like popularity of a female superhero.
There you go.
Marvel would want to capitalize on it.
You are close. So the Incredible Hulk TV show is on CBS or whatever channel it's on. And it's very popular, sort of. But the $6 million man has a spinoff, The Bionic Woman. And that becomes a huge ratings hit. And suddenly, Stan Lee is like, holy shit, True Believers, we have to make a female Hulk, because if the TV show beats us to it first, they'll have the rights to the She-Hulk and we won't. So he creates the She-Hulk in a matter of 3 days. He cranks out the plot and the script for the story, which shows if you read it. Mm-hmm. But that is the whole point. Marvel Comics wanted to beat the TV show to the creation of a female spinoff of the Hulk so they could maintain the rights. And another fun Alex fact, She-Hulk was the last original new character Stan Lee created for Marvel Comics.
I don't believe that's true. Oh, for Marvel Comics, that is true. I was thinking of Stripperella. Stripperella came much later.
He created stuff after Stripperella, too. It just didn't get famous.
Stripperella got pretty famous, and that's way after. Wait, right. Stripperella had a Marvel comic?
Right, but he created characters after Stripperella. They just didn't become famous.
Okay. Mike, you're only half right. Sit there and be wrong.
How am I only half right? I said it was the last Marvel character that he created.
Pretty sure Stripperella had a Marvel comic book after a while.
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
He was Dark Horse.
And Dark Horse, isn't Dark Horse like part of Marvel?
No.
I don't know all the interconnectivities. What was Marvel's? Marvel's was Powers. That's right. I'm sorry. I love Stripperella.
Epic.
Josh, you were telling us about She-Hulk's origin?
I wasn't really.
He was texting his mom. I was trying to buy him time to text his mom.
I did, but I still don't know anything about the origin of She-Hulk. So
I have a quick question from Mike. Mike, you know the origin better. So She-Hulk was created because she needed a blood transfusion. The only person she can get the blood transfusion from at the time was her cousin, who happened to be, of course, Bruce Banner. What was the accident about? I forget.
She was shot. She was a lawyer investigating the mob, and the mob put a hit on her. They shot her in the back, and David Banner was there. Or excuse me, Bruce Banner. Sorry, thinking of the TV show. Bruce Banner was there. Was like, I got to save her. He gave her a blood transfusion, and that is how she became the She-Hulk. The main difference between the She-Hulk and the Hulk is She-Hulk typically maintains her intelligence when she transforms, although not in every iteration. Like the Hulk, the angrier she gets, the stronger she gets. She also later on discovers that her gamma mutation makes her exponentially stronger as the She-Hulk. So if she transforms back into Jennifer Walters and works out and gets stronger as Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk also gets stronger too.
Damn, that's awesome.
And she's immortal.
So she's got that going for her.
Yeah, she's been killed 4 times.
A lot of superheroes have been killed more than 4 times, Mikey. And they're not considered immortal.
I agree.
So they do actually name drop David Banner in the first issue. In the very first panel, it says something about Bruce or David or whoever. What does it matter? Something like that.
Yeah, it's really because... funny. Stan Lee had been watching the TV show and didn't remember that it was Bruce Banner, so he called him David Banner.
Oh, yeah.
It's his middle name.
There were a lot of other really funny things about that particular comic book. Not only was the She-Hulk a little bit more engaged with her personal life than a lot of other superheroes. Of course, that's, I'm talking about for the time. At that time, superhero comic books – a lot of those superhero comic books at that time were kind of villain of the week comics. She-Hulk was not only a continuing comic book that had just as much to do with her life and her life as a lawyer, which really does lend itself to comic to comic book villains and meeting villains, but also her love life, that was a big thing. And also one of the most striking things about this is her ability for a long time to break the fourth wall. Who was she breaking the fourth wall? That was Osterman, right?
No, it was John Byrne.
John Byrne, that's right. She'd actually address John Byrne in the comic book sometimes when she wasn't feeling the story was going right.
She would call him Byrnesy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Byrnesy. She would rip a page in half to get to the next page. She would walk through advertisement to get to the next page, much like Ambush Bug. I did not like that at all. I want my comic book to not be quite so all over the place.
Well, so you're actually jumping ahead in her publication history. It's the Savage She-Hulk is her first series. It only lasts 16 issues. Stan Lee writes the first one, and then the rest is written by David Kraft. And Kraft is the one who he uses it to just resurrect and save characters that from Marvel Comics who he likes. So he's like, Man-Wolf. Yeah, I fucking like Man-Wolf. I'm going to put Man-Wolf into this comic. And
make him her boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. He just does whatever comes to mind. He uses supporting characters from other comics because he's like, oh, I like that character. I'm just going to pull him over into this comic book. After the 16 issues, it wasn't a very popular series. John Byrne takes over, and he has 40-something or 60-something issues, and he writes most of it breaking the fourth wall, making her more of a comedy character, and he brings in classic other writers to guest write, like the guy who wrote Howard the Duck, Steve Gerber. And so it's a lot of farcical stuff that goes on in that series itself. And in order to kind of salvage her, for a while she was a member of the Fantastic Four. She takes over for the Thing. She also later becomes a member of the Avengers. And then it's later on when she starts getting her own series just called the She-Hulk, where Dan Slott is writing her issues, where they focus in more on her being an attorney. And she becomes the attorney for superheroes in general. Her first run has, I think, 12 issues, and then her next run goes another 40-something issues. All super entertaining with her as the criminal attorney, defense attorney for both criminals and superheroes. And her cast of characters expands. She has become good friends with Hellcat, Patsy Walker, who she uses as a private detective for her law firm. She let's not forget her Tom's favorite intern. I'm sorry, that's my work phone going off. Tom, you can take over. Talk about Awesome Andy.
Let me talk about Awesome Andy. Awesome Andy the Android, a creation of the Mad Thinkerer, or Tinkerer, sorry. Tommy, Mad Tinkerer, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Mad Tinkerer is an android who is awesome. he can absorb superpowers. He can absorb almost any power he sees. He was actually strong enough to take on the Avengers by himself. He absorbed a bunch of the Avengers' power, fought the Avengers to a dead standstill. But when he finally broke control from the Mad Tinkerer, he kind of became
his own. You had it right the first time?
Thinker?
Thinker. Yeah, it's the Mad Thinker.
Mad Thinker. Yeah. When he finally broke one of Mike's favorite characters, the Mad Thinker, he became his own person, his own android, as you will, and stayed on. Now, the big problem with that is he hung out a little bit too much with Star Fox. Mikey, you want to tell us why Star Fox became problematic?
Well, Star Fox's power is to excrete pheromones, which seduce the other sex and gets them to do what he wants them to do. He's basically superpowered date rape. In fact, she defends him.
Witness stand. Yeah.
And he
seduces a married woman.
Yes, and he says, look, I do have the power to do this, but I can control it. I have never used my power to sleep with a woman who and force her into it. I can control when I release my pheromones and when I don't. Because even She-Hulk was thinking, did this fucker rape me?
Because they had a fling.
Yeah, She-Hulk is... she is the Tony Stark of superheroes. She sleeps with a lot of other superheroes, and she doesn't think it's fair that she gets labeled as promiscuous, but Tony Stark is labeled as just, oh, he's just a ladies' man. She thinks it's
not.
Yeah, she addresses that directly to Tony Stark while she's sleeping with Tony Stark. And Tony Stark makes a snarky, sexist comment about it, saying that she says exactly what Mike just said. How come you're a playboy and I'm promiscuous? And Tony Stark is gazing at her going, well, I wish you could see things from my perspective. And he's looking down her shirt.
And then she rips him in half.
I was going to say, he's lucky she didn't rip his jaw off and feed it to him.
They had just had sex. That's bad form.
Yeah, she just, gross. You know, could have named her, changed her name to the Praying Mantis and been done with it. Rip Tony Stark in half.
They're both green? What? It's my superpowers. I charge. So She-Hulk has been involved in a lot of villain superheroes and one or two villains. Let's not get into the whole Juggernaut thing. Because nothing stops the Juggernaut. You don't want to get into that? Mikey wants to get into it. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, there was a She-Hulk from a different reality who slept with Juggernaut. But Juggernaut is telling everybody, I slept with She-Hulk. And She-Hulk is really pissed that he keeps on telling people that she slept with him. She's like, I never slept with Juggernaut. And Juggernaut's like, yeah, we totally slept with each other. So she actually got into a big old fight with him, and then later on when she discovers, oh no, I'm sorry, it wasn't another dimension, it was a Skrull who was posing as her. When she finds the Skrull, she's like, it was you, right? Was it a Skrull, Tom? Am I misremembering?
It was another dimension from what I just read about 20 minutes ago. Oh, okay. I didn't research it very deep.
No, you're right. I couldn't remember if it was a Skrull or if it was another dimension She-Hulk.
It was another dimensional She-Hulk. Interdimensional She-Hulk. So, by the way, Josh, you're welcome. I knew that if I started putting out some random facts out there in poor order, Mike would jump right in and give us the entire background for you. So you are welcome.
I appreciate that.
I knew if I just shuffle those cards around a little bit, we'd get Mike to correct me, and he did. And thank you, because I think that's the best way to move forward on that one. Now, you really like the She-Hulk. Would you say she's the best lawyer in the Marvel Universe?
Oh, yeah. She's superior to Matt Murdock.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She argues in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Has Matt Murdock been in front of the Supreme Court?
Doubt it.
I'm actually honest. I don't know.
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm going to go with no.
Stacey, are you a fan of the She-Hulk?
I am a big fan of the She-Hulk, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so both of us are big social justice people. You flinched at that promiscuous thing. Now, there's a very interesting storyline where she's dating someone who doesn't like her body when she's She-Hulk, but loves her body when she's Jennifer. You want to talk about that?
I'm not familiar with that storyline, to be honest. So,
well, that was her, actually her. That was the Man Wolf. I was going to hit that real quick. Cause I think it's pretty interesting that he thought that she was escaping by becoming She-Hulk, and he was just not attracted to her when she was big and buff and green. And he just told her, "Hey, I don't like you like this. I can't date you if you're going to keep doing this to your body because it's gross." And it was deeply, deeply, deeply hurtful. And it really got her thinking about body issues. Like, what else won't he like if something changes on me? You know, I'm going to get older someday. She didn't know she was immortal at the time. So it was a really interesting thing that I've never seen body image problems like that. I've never seen addressed in a comic book like that. So I just wanted to touch on it. What do you like about the character, Stacey?
So my main familiarity with it in terms of books that I read, I mean, I've sporadically read some of the older stuff, but I read a lot of the Charles Soule stuff with her and Patsy, and really, really enjoyed those stories. And of course, she was in when Mike Allred and Matt Fraction were writing FF, she was a part of that. One of my favorite stories was the during the Red Hulk thing, where they revive the Lady Liberators, and you know, the Lady Liberators back in the day was how they introduced Valkyrie to the Marvel Universe, but in this case, it was the Lady Liberators versus Red Hulk, and so I started getting interested in it there. And but my favorite issue is an issue I discovered not too long ago. So one of my favorite Marvel characters is Death's Head, and there is a crossover issue, Sensational She-Hulk number 24, where Death's Head makes an appearance and comes back from, ironically, the year 2020 to modern, whatever present day was then, so 1991, to retrieve this vase that mysteriously appeared on She-Hulk's front step, I believe, and was trying to get it from her, and it turns out there's a very specific piece of information within it that helps her prosecute somebody, or helps the person in the future prosecute somebody that she is trying to prosecute at the time. And it's just, it's fun because it's fun because there's a lot of really kind of madcap them trying to make sure the vase doesn't get broken. And there's a whole bunch of low-level supervillains that show up, like Whirlwind and Plant Man. And at one point, Plant Man gets really sad because he's trying to fight She-Hulk, and she's like, "What's the matter with you?" And he's like, "No plant." Yeah, it's just it's a super fun issue. And it was because I collect Death's Head comics, that was one that I had to add to my collection. So,
and it's so a super you're fun the read. One.
I was about to say.
Yep, I'm the one.
Hey, I'm trying to finish up my Tatterdemalion run, so I can't say anything about liking Death's Head.
Well, it started because I was reading British Transformers comics, and Simon Furman, who actually wrote this issue of She-Hulk, he, you know, introduced Death's Head, appeared in a few places, the British Doctor Who comic, and in some of the British Transformers comics. So that's how I got into Death's Head. Was I was like, "Oh, he's really funny." And all the issues are really cheap, so it's a fun, easy thing to collect.
I like fun and easy to collect. I'm the guy that has every single issue of the stupid motorcycle one that we did last week, US one.
Team America.
Team America.
Did you get the one that was included in that set?
You got the one from the toy set?
No. I'm missing a couple. I'm going to get him. Tommy, what do you like about the She-Hulk?
Well, I mean, historically, I've read most of the She-Hulk I've had been exposed to has been through the Avengers. But I did read a bunch of the John Byrne run for this episode. I liked it. It was great. I thought it was really pretty funny stuff, even though it was, you know, from 1989. I thought it was still held up. That's pretty funny. It was good.
You think it was dated?
I could still appreciate it, Tommy.
All righty.
And Josh, I don't want people speaking through the fourth wall, so.
Yeah. Josh, did you read many?
I didn't read a lot, but I think, I mean, recently, it was maybe just last year or the year before, they started a comic, but it's just called Hulk, but it's about She-Hulk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they started that I picked up maybe the first maybe 8 or 10 issues, and then I really sort of dropped off just getting comics all together for a while. But the interesting premise at that juncture for her was that she was actually having a difficult time becoming She-Hulk. And so a lot of it started off as her trying to deal with the idea of not being She-Hulk and engaging more in her career and what else she could do as Jennifer Walters. It was pretty interesting for a while. But then once they actually turned her sort of back into just the She-Hulk smash hero, I started to actually lose interest. I kind of liked the beginning of the comic, and then it started to slide for me a little bit. But I didn't get a chance to finish out the series and see how far it went. I don't know if it continued.
It did, but it was – I agree with you. It's a great juxtaposition, right? Because She-Hulk – Bruce Banner does not want to be the Hulk. He considers it a burden, and he wants to get rid of it. She-Hulk, however, typically retains her intelligence and doesn't want to become Jennifer Walters anymore. She wants to stay as the She-Hulk because the She-Hulk is big, strong, and powerful. And as Jennifer, she's not. She's defenseless as Jennifer. And so she has adopted this personality of She-Hulk. She doesn't want to transform back into her normal person. She wants to stay the She-Hulk. So it's a good dichotomy between her and her cousin.
And also, I think Doc Samson said that she was the only gamma irradiated victim who did better afterwards. She was the only one that actually gained from being, the Hulk. All the other, Abomination, Doc Samson, who was getting pretty close to becoming psychotic himself because of the radiation, and others, really suffered under the gamma radiation. But she's Doc Samson said she's the only one who really seemed to flourish after her transformation.
So if we kind of segue into the back of the long box, what I had there was She-Hulk Time Trials by Dan Slott, volume number 3 of the 2004-2005-ish run there. And in it, she would pick up a lot of guys and bring them home. And sometimes during the night, after she had her way with them, she would turn into Jennifer Walters. And she would be upset and not want to stay Jennifer Walters when they woke up, because sometimes they would be disappointed. So in one of those episodes, she changed into She-Hulk before he woke up and ended up knocking this poor guy out of bed in the transformation process. And it was just an interesting sort of thing where it's like, not only does she want to stay She-Hulk, but she also feels this need to present herself as She-Hulk to people and not let them see the real her in a lot of situations.
What is the real her? I mean, we go into that a lot in the comic books.
That's a good question. Is She-Hulk now the predominant personality instead of Jennifer? Or is Jennifer the same person?
I'm glad you said the predominant personality, because if you read all the She-Hulks, you'll see that she did have a repressed personality that does come out later after she becomes more confident and more herself. And her first paramour, the Man-Wolf, John Jameson, doesn't like any of that. He liked the mousy, do whatever he said, Jennifer. He does not like the new empowered She-Hulk Jennifer at all, and breaks up with her because of it. So who is the real She-Hulk? I hope that it's, that repressed personality that she kept down just to fit into a world of lawyers and men is actually not who she is. I think it's the She-Hulk.
I don't know. If you've met my lawyer, she's a bad motherfucker. We called her the goddess of battle and wisdom.
Yes.
And let me tell you, when she marched in the courtroom, she was the She-Hulk of the Jennifer Walters side of the coin, I will tell you that.
You've told me stories, my friend. She seems very intimidating. Does anyone have any last thoughts on the She-Hulk? We've already done Back of the Long Box, so.
Well, I mean. So,
oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
I was just going to say.
Just to go into storyline, that was just one small part of that storyline. The bigger part was that Jennifer Walters ends up defending someone who has committed a crime and has murdered someone, but claims it's in self-defense, even though he shot the person in the back. And he claims it's in self-defense because the person in the future was going to kill him. And so she ends up performing this service as a lawyer in this sort of time court, and they bring in all these jurors from different time periods to be the jury on this. And one of the people they bring back is Clint Barton from the, but he's in a period before he died. Jennifer Walters tries to slip him a note telling him how he died so that he can avoid it. And then she herself gets taken prisoner by the time agency. So because she's breaking the laws and
breaking the time law
agreement with the time authority. And the story goes on from there as to later her defending herself before the time authority. So
can you give me that issue number again so I can never read it? I fucking hate time travel.
Josh, you might actually like it though because it's fun.
I was going to offer you a dollar just to stop talking about it.
I will say this, Stacey, you like the Charles Soule run on She-Hulk. You will love the Dan Slott and Peter David run on She-Hulk also, if you like that. And, and when we, Tom, you had mentioned before her being the greatest lawyer in the Marvel universe. She has argued, not before the Supreme Court, she has argued before the fucking living tribunal.
I forgot that we can just drop the mic right there. Tribunal.
Yeah.
Boom. Drop it.
She has.
You've been Ginsburged.
Yeah. She has literally argued before Marvel's cosmic entity on law. So I think she is probably the greatest Marvel attorney. Before we talk about her future, and I'm sure we're going to get into the Disney Plus TV show that's going to feature She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. I would like to jump ahead to the front of the long box because this past week, the Immortal She-Hulk came out, which has a variant cover by Alex Ross, which is awesome. And that is where the awesomeness stops, is at the cover.
That cover, she looks more like the green chick from Star Trek than She-Hulk. Hold it up again.
But yeah, it is Alex Ross, so it is an amazing piece of artwork.
No, the eyes. She, you know, I disagree. That doesn't look that much like She-Hulk. Her eyes look too much like...
It does look like She-Hulk, but it's still a really nice piece of art.
It looks like Michelle Pfeiffer playing She-Hulk.
It's... Yeah, all right.
I wouldn't mind.
No.
Yeah. That's not my She-Hulk.
So the Immortal She-Hulk is looking at, is doing what the Immortal Hulk is doing. They are looking at She-Hulk's immortality, and it has a horror bent to it, which the current Immortal Hulk comic has. They're doing that with the Immortal She-Hulk comic. So we have talked a lot about She-Hulk being a kind of a comedy character, breaking the fourth wall. This is the total opposite of that. It is not my cup of tea, but if you are a fan of the Immortal Hulk and like where it's going on questions of immortality, this might be the comic for you. But let's disregard that because, again, not a fan and nobody else has read it. Let's talk more about the upcoming TV show on Disney Plus. Has anybody watched Orphan Black?
Yes.
Some of it, but not a lot.
I think the main character from Orphan Black is the one who's supposed to be She-Hulk. Is that right?
She is. Tatiana Maslany.
Maslany, yeah.
Easy for you to say.
No, there's something else I saw her in. I can't remember what the other show was.
I know she did it at least one episode of Parks and Rec, but that's probably not what you're thinking of.
It is definitely not.
Perry Mason?
Yeah, she was in the new Perry Mason.
She was the preacher.
Yeah, she was very good in that. That definitely not who I would have picked for She-Hulk, just on, I don't know, just she has a different feel and not what I would have gone with. And I presume they're just going to CG the hell out of her as She-Hulk. But I don't know. There's something about her that just slid past me as a on the casting. And I didn't see her a lot in Orphan Black, and clearly Perry Mason, her role was she was on it a bit, but her exposure on there was pretty limited. But I don't know. When I heard it, it just didn't click for me.
She was brilliant in Orphan Black because she was playing a wide range of different characters and did a fantastic job.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress. The only thing I'm wondering is, you've got this amazing actress, but you have to... She-Hulk is primarily She-Hulk, right? She's not... Very often, she's not Jennifer at all in most of the comic depictions. And if you're going to have just a CGI character the whole time, that's going to get really expensive. I know Disney has all the money, but it seems like...
Wait. I'm sorry. I think what you said was... Disney has some of the money. What you really said was Disney has all the money.
Yeah. So I know do you guys think they're going to have it where, you know, she's Jennifer sometimes and then becomes the She-Hulk? Are they going to keep it? Are they going to make it more of a comedy lawyer drama? Ally McBeal meets the Hulk, or are they going to take it down the direction that they're currently going in the comics and have her have that Hulk TV show journey where she's just trying to stop the savage She-Hulk?
I hope not. I honestly, because the thing I love about She-Hulk, and we've talked about it here, is how it really, at least what I get out of it, is that whole commentary on, you know, women are expected to be like, we're not allowed to get angry. Not allowed, I would say. You can get angry if we want to, but it's usually frowned upon. Yeah, if you do, you're a bitch. And I hope, honestly, I hope that a lot of the story is about her embracing the fact that when she's She-Hulk, she really gets to be who she wants to be. And people judge her, but who the fuck cares? Because she's She-Hulk, you know. Like it doesn't matter. So I hope it's not that. I mean, if they want to go the comedy route, I think you could still do that. But given the tone of a lot of other Marvel shows, I feel like they could take a pretty serious bent and make it social commentary. It's going to make some people mad, but I don't care about those people anyway. So,
so here's my thought. The gamma radiation has made her insane, but in a different way from the Hulk. So she thinks she is a character in a TV show, but no one else knows. So she breaks the fourth wall in front of other characters who are just kind of staring like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm talking to the audience. And they think she's insane because of the gamma radiation. That's what I would do if I was writing the series. So it probably won't happen.
I don't know. You freaking called a freaking...
Tom's writing it down right now.
Writing it down. Vision and
this is my letter to Disney. Yeah. This is my invisible letter to Disney thanking them for not hiring you. Because I don't want to see that. I don't. I want to see single female lawyer like my good friend Stacy up there. And we want to see, you know, we want to see a woman coming to her own and being a good superhero. That's what I want to see.
And
if Tom wants to see the actress, they're going to make me. It's going to be freaking CG She-Hulk, and I'm going to hate staring at CG She-Hulk. I'm going to hate it.
Tom wants
Would you rather rotoscope She-Hulk?
So you're saying you want like a Ferrigno kind of scenario where you have like when she's She-Hulk, she's some muscular lady.
I mean,
Tatiana Maslany.
Barring her political problems, Gina Carano would have made a great She-Hulk, right?
Woof, yeah.
So, yeah, in some way, I would have liked to have seen that more. And if it really is a CG version of that actress, yeah, it's really going to – it's going to take me out of the show. And watching CG characters for any length of time at this point is difficult.
Oh.
It's off-putting at this point. I just, like
– I forgive it for Hulk, though. Like, I love Mark Ruffalo Hulk. Like, I think it works, especially as far as CGI has come. I think it's. I mean, yeah. But maybe it's just because I love Hulkalo. I don't know.
Fun Alec fact: there was a female back in the 80s who was considered to play She-Hulk. Who was it?
Back to the 80s. I have no idea. Wendy I just wanted Richter. To say that.
Wendy Richter? Wow, that's a good. Good on you, kid. Wendy Richter, ex-WWE women's champion, and Cyndi Lauper's protege when Cyndi Lauper was a manager. But no, not Wendy Richter. Anybody else? Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, that makes sense.
And I have to correct myself. I was wrong. She-Hulk was the second to last character. I forgot about Ravage 2099. That I had blocked him out of my mind.
I'll
allow it.
So stop your nasty emails and stop tweeting us at the Long Box guys. Mike doesn't know shit about Stan Lee's characters because Ravage 2099, which I own every issue of. I'm kidding. I don't own any issues of Ravage 2099. But there's a Ravage 2099 fan out there who is just freaking out right now listening to us.
Well, we have a long list of people who hate us. L7, all the Ravage 99 fans.
Hashtag actually.
Where do guys like to interrupt, keep all their actuallys? Well, actually.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Stacey, you get a toy for us this week?
Oh, I sure do. And it's on theme, surprising nobody that I have a She-Hulk figure. Actually, I've had a lot of She-Hulk figures over the years, and there are a lot of bad ones out there. But this one that came out last year, I think she's the best one they've done. She's... most of them have some kind of dumb costume. This one is, you know, kind of the Bruce Banner, you know, ripped clothes kind of thing. She's super muscular. I like the hair over her face. She looks really angry. Like she's inspirational for me. Yeah. So
and
this one,
there's what company was that?
It's Hasbro. So it's one of their Marvel Legends that came out. Like I said, I'm pretty sure it came out last year and, yeah, she's amazing.
I like her hair there, too. That's plastic hair, not the other hair. But I think sometimes that plastic hair just lends itself better to the character because it looks like she's, you know, fierce and it's whipping around in the air, which you can't really get with the, you know, hair that you can comb with a brush.
Yeah. Like rooted hair. Yeah. They don't make Marvel Legends with rooted hair.
They don't. But they always – now, do you have any of the Marvel Legends where you had to take – one piece out of every single box to make? Like, a lot of those Marvel Legends came with, like, one piece of, and you're nodding, who do you got that's big? Like, I think so most
one of the, probably the first She-Hulk figure I owned was they did a Hulk series, and it was, I can't remember all the figures, but I know Doc Samson was in it. There was a She-Hulk. There was, you know, one or two different Hulks, but each of them had a piece, and you build this big, giant Fin-Fang-Foom. It is one of the gems of my collection. That thing is awesome. Huge and beautiful, and I
Josh
love it.
Loves Fin-Fang-Foom. It's one of his faves.
He's gorgeous.
Well, we'll have to put up a take a picture of them. I like to put that up on the on the site. Sorry, that was a little tangential. Didn't mean to do that. That's usually Josh's thing. Josh, got a tangent for us?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I have a tangent. I can guess what Stacey's answer to this is, thanks to our earlier conversation about Death's Head. But what do you think your most obscure fandom is? Like one thing you're really a fan of that probably or maybe not everybody else is a fan of? And also I have to ask before we get into this, Stacey, do you have the Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Legends Death's Head figure?
I do.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I assumed, but, you know, sometimes you can always be surprised.
Sometimes, yeah, there's holes in my collection.
Wait, are we talking for fandom? Are we talking a comic book specific, or are we talking just a fandom?
Just a fandom that's it's probably, you think, you know what, I'm a really big fan of this, and you know what? No one else I know is a really big fan of this.
Person of interest.
Josh is right. Mike is writing fanfic about it tonight. Where the computer becomes sentient and they make out a little bit.
It's just me and Shaw on the road. If you don't know what that means, because you're not a fan like I am.
Stacey's looking around her room to see what her most obscure toy or anything is. Josh, you know what my most obscure one is, don't you?
Your most obscure?
My most obscure. The guy that I obsess about, I bring up way too often about being the greatest thief. The greatest cinematic thief of all time is by far and easy Malik from Conan the Destroyer. This motherfucker hides in shadow in the middle of a goddamn desert. He backstabs a guy riding by on a goddamn horse. He backstabbed him. He does his job. He steals. He knows when to steal and when not to steal. He kills the troublesome priest. He gets the last shot of the monster, and he tells Conan how to kill the monster. He's like, pull out his horn.
See, Malik, for a second there, I thought you were going to say the thief from Lady Hawk.
Mouse? His name is Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse is a fine thief, and Josh and I have talked about this, but Mouse is a good escape artist. Is he a great thief? What have we seen him do except pick a pocket or two?
Yeah, he's
more of a cut person, a good, well-rounded thief. Fairly good escape artist, only guy to ever get out of that prison. And do we see him backstab anybody? No. Hide in shadow? Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, he's got a good stealth.
He's got a good stealth, not a great stealth. Hey, there's a... he can't even hide from one guy chasing him on a horse. And that guy's a wolf half the time. I guess it's kind of hard to hide from a wolf.
Yeah, the guy's got the scent ability. Cut him some slack.
Plus, there's a hawk chasing you, too. So it's a hawk and a wolf.
You got two apex predators.
Two apex predators. If there was like a crocodile
king.
Two
apex predators, and your name is Mouse.
Yeah. You're not doing well.
Not doing great. All right, that's my most obscure, and I know that's pretty obscure. Josh, what's your most obscure? You got a couple.
I'm trying to think to answer my own question. Now my head's racing. Give me a sec here.
I'll give you another couple of seconds. Tommy, you got some deep ones. And I know you're going to say Jack of Hearts just to be a dick. But say something else.
Will you? I am going to say Jack of Hearts just to be a dick.
Guy's such a nothing burger.
One of the most powerful characters.
Could you hate it? It's a nothing.
One of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe.
He reignited a sun just to save his people.
I think we can all agree, Jack Hart's probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Avenger. Does anybody have an objection to that? Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, you know, Tommy just doesn't like people who take out, you know, child predators.
That's true.
That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. Yeah.
Stacy, what's your obscure?
Probably my love of small comics publishers from the 80s and 90s, like Solson Publications or Blackthorn. Like, I have so many 3D comics from Blackthorn. just weird stuff. Like, you know, some of the very, very sexist and problematic Solson Publications. Of the name of it is it Femforce? Yeah, Femforce.
Oh, geez, Femforce. God dang.
It's so bad, but I love it. And they're awful. But
what do you love about collecting it? That Danger Girl not drawn as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. At least Danger Girl was really drawn well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, all the parts were sort of in the right place. They didn't have any internal organs, but other than that, yeah, they were great.
Even when he drew guys, they were, like, great. I mean, just, I just love that art style.
Yeah. So yeah. There's some fun Danger Girl books.
Yeah.
Miss Victory was a member of Femforce, right?
Yes, she was.
She dates back to the Golden Age of comics. That is a valid fandom. I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I agree with Tom too. Oh my God, those comics! Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
just hard to look at. Is that everybody,
Josh?
I mean, I guess I have something obscure that I do collect. I don't even know if I'm going to go with calling it a fandom, but I do collect like Time, Life, and older magazines that either have to do with lunar missions and launches, or that have science fiction movie reviews in them.
Wow. I do like reading reviews that don't hit the mark. I was reading one about Star Wars, and it compared it to, it's just The Wizard of Oz for people too stupid to understand The Wizard of Oz. Like, what? That's a review of Star Wars? All right.
I'm glad you're saving my old reviews, Tom. I appreciate that.
I mean, I do have a collection of zines that were put out by the Wonder Woman fan club from, like, the Wonder Woman TV show. So, like, some very interesting essays about Wonder Woman, and yeah, they're good reads.
Yeah, we forgot to touch on Jennifer Walters. Walker's perceived bisexuality. I forgot to even touch upon that.
Mm, yeah, sure did.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Moving on.
Okay.
We touched on it.
We touched on it. Now we can go on.
We touched on it. Now we've touched on it.
Now we've touched it. All right. I think that's just about everybody.
3-18?
This weekend. Good. What?
3-18?
Okay. A quick 3-day. You guys want a quick 3-day team? We're not going too long.
No.
All right. 3-18. Let's do it. All right. 3-18. I didn't have one prepared. Give me 10 seconds.
I love editing this. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to edit it at all. I don't really listen to this podcast. I'm not a fan.
3-18.
Hot summer day, vanilla ice cream. 3-18. I'm going to give it a solid 15. I want sprinkles. I said just vanilla.
Yeah, you fucked up. Sorry, you can only give it a 12 or 13.
That's why I only gave it a 13. Oh, you're right, 13. 13 without sprinkles.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll give it a 12.
12. Hot summer day, vanilla ice cream. How happy are you to see it there, Stacy?
I'll give it a 15.
Oh, good man, Tommy. Tommy coming in strong.
See, I like the fact that he asked Josh and I answered, and then he asked Stacy, and then you answered, LT, because our listeners are going, wait, is that Stacy's voice? What the hell?
What happened? The classic body switch Freaky Friday scenario. as long as it's non-dairy, I'll give it 14.
What's non-dairy ice cream?
They make non-dairy ice cream.
Like coconut milk, oat milk, almond milk.
Cashew milk.
Cashew milk.
You can milk anything.
Something else?
You can milk anything with nipples, Josh.
Oat milk.
Yeah, they just call it ice cream.
Ice cream.
It's just cashew cream.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got a different name for everything. The gelato, like, you know, they get different names for everything. I don't know.
You're going to lose your vegan powers there, Josh, if you keep eating that gelato.
Yes, milk and egg, bitch.
Milk and egg, bitch.
Thomas Jane.
Chicken parm is a vegan?
Was that everyone this time?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Next week, remind me someone, Square School Pizza. We'll do that next week. Oh, when I was a kid, I loved that shit.
I will not remind you. I have a horrible story about that.
Oh, no.
Horrible.
I don't know if I want to hear it. If that'll do, let's go to plugs, for God's sakes. I don't know.
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And we'd also like to thank our fellow podcasters like Seth and the boys over at whosnextgaming.com for all your gaming TV shows, movies, comic book, pop culture, sex robot kind of needs. And they are getting ready to finally do on Movie So Bad They're Good, Hudson Hawk. They've tried to keep on trying to schedule it for with me at the same time I have Dungeons and Dragons with you guys.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. I can't believe it.
They don't respect our schedule. I can believe it.
Yeah.
We have to do another shared podcast where we get drunk and do trivia with those guys because that was hilarious. I listened to that podcast about a month ago, and that held up nice. Mostly because we were drunk off our monkey butts. Stacey, anyone want to plug?
Yeah, actually, I would like to plug Reboots and Dragons, which is a podcast a friend of a friend, I guess I would also consider him a friend. They do D&D sessions, but they're all based on movies. And the players don't know what the movies are until they sort of get into it and they start getting through the plot. I'm actually going to be appearing on an upcoming series. I think we're recording sometime this month. So yeah, check it out. Super fun.
Can you tell us what the movie's going to be?
I don't know. And I won't know. Yeah, I won't know.
Yes. I'm sorry. When you said you were going to be, I thought they had you as a guest voice actress doing NPCs or something.
No. I'll actually be playing
a session. That sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it sounds like
you go through the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be easily given away if you're handling it too ham-handedly. Like, well, you've been hired by a kingdom to keep a war from starting between Florin and Gilder. All right.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen the movie, like whatever movie it is, like they did Dragnet for one of the series of episodes. And
so there was a virgin Connie Swain.
Yeah, so they keep mentioning little things here and there, and I, like, my friend had never seen Dragnet, so he was like, I don't know what they're talking about. And I was laughing my head off. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I love it. So I was looking at him yelling things like Pep Strebeck, and he was like, I don't know what that is. So
did they eventually have sex in the back of a very small cart?
I don't recall that detail.
That's the best part.
It does kind of take on a life of its own. Yeah.
Backseat of a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stacey.
You're very welcome.
Stacey, never cease to impress me with the depth of your knowledge of our fandomness. Tommy, anything to plug, brother?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com for various of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, posters, t-shirts, baseball hats, you name it, they got it.
Point of order, I didn't get a harumph from that guy.
Harumph! He's right. You didn't get a harm from that guy.
Yeah. See, take some of these boys in lieu of pay.
See, these are great. That's a good deep cut. Yeah. All right. Fun Alex fact. What was the one line they had to cut from the movie? I think we've done this one before.
I think you have.
Yeah, we have.
My favorite cut line of all time. They're in the dark with Madeline Kahn. They're about to make love. And she says, is it true what they say about black men? Oh, it's true. It's true. And he says, excuse me, miss, but you're sucking on my elbow. They cut that line, and I'll never forgive them for doing so. I'd like to also just give a quick shout out to our good friends over at Battle Bunker. They sell me my my little toys for Warhammer. Love them. Love going there. Have a great time there. Also, Alpha and Omega Games. I have more than one place where I go to buy my crack. That's bad. It's bad. My addiction's getting bad. Warhammer is sucking me in too much, buddies. Mikey, what's this podcast like to you, buddy?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Josh, your house. Is that still your sector?
This week, I'm going to call my sector the Magic Tavern because I'm trying to get through Hello from the Magic Tavern podcast.
How is that? Is that good?
It's hilarious. I love it.
Hello from the Magic Tavern. I'm going to check that out. Stace, any parting words?
Yeah. It's like sitting at the cool kids table. Well, the Woo-hoo. Cool nerdy kids table.
And thank you for sharing your lunch with us. Tom, sweet, sweet Tom. Any last words, buddy?
Actually, I've got a quote from the She-Hulk comic. Preserve the past, protect the present, and forget the future. Is it me, or does that sound like the GOP platform? Yeah. I'm staring at you, Kentucky. Get rid of Mitch McConnell.
Ditch Mitch.
That's bad. When LT's calling you out, Mitch, that's bad. That's bad. Okay. Ditch Mitch. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. So long from the Longbox, guys.